Fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The Winter Olympics officially opened Friday in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Fans at the opening ceremony braved freezing temperatures to see fireworks, a spectacular light show, and the parade of athletes entering the Olympic Stadium. And those freezing temperatures are clearly on the minds of American Olympic fans Michael and Tracy Rice, who traveled to Pyeongchang from the U.S. state of Texas.
I'm worried about the cold.
We're bundled up.
This is not the kind of weather I'm accustomed to. So,
I think we're bundled up now, and I think as the sun goes down, it'll get colder, but we've got some pocket
blankets
warmers and some blankets, so we'll be fine.
The Winter Olympics are sure to be full of drama, but perhaps the cooperation between North and South Korea will be the biggest drama of all. The divided Koreas have agreed to compete as a unified team in women's ice hockey. Athletes from North and South Korea marched together Friday behind a blue and white Korean unification flag. Before the opening ceremony, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres had this to say at a news conference in Pyeongchang.
The Olympic spirit allows for people to be together from all over the world, to respect each other, to assert the values of tolerance, of mutual understanding, that are the basic elements for peace to be possible. Obviously, in the present context, there is a lot of attention for this message of peace in relation to the Korean Peninsula. But I want to say very clearly that the Olympic message of peace is not local, it's universal. It's for the whole world. It's as valid in Korea as it is valid everywhere where we struggle to try to address the many complex conflicts that we are facing.
Meanwhile, Ngozi Onwumere carried Nigeria's flag into the Olympic Stadium in Pyeongchang on Friday. It marks the first time Nigeria has been represented at a Winter Olympics. The 26-year-old Onwumere, like those American fans we heard from earlier, is from Texas, but her family has Nigerian heritage. Ngozi attended the University of Houston, as did the driver and leader of Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsled team, Seyun Adigun.
It's been beautiful to know that Nigeria is supporting us. They've never had anyone in the Winter Olympics, and they're excited to see that happen. Nigerians globally, people that are even non-Nigerian, you know, just being supportive of the fact that this country is going to get representation at the Winter Olympics, and the continent's going to get representation in the sport of bobsled.
Seyun Adigun has a background in athletics. She says the power and other attributes involved in sprinting carry over well to the bobsled event.
Being a strength and power track and field athlete as sprinters, it transferred over quite nicely to bobsled because those are the main characteristics you have in order to move the sled as successfully as possible.
Seyun Adigun, the driver and team leader of Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsled team. And now we're going to hear from the two other members of the bobsled team. To help move that sled as successfully as possible, Seyun Adigun recruited Akwoma Omeoga and Ngozi Onwumere for Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsled team. They're also track athletes who are new to the bobsled event. Omeoga says initially, there were doubts about whether they could compete in the sport.
First-hand experience with bobsled was kind of like, what did I get myself into? Like, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, we have a whole entire year left. You know, whatever the road led ahead. But you know what? We did have a few aha moments, especially for us as brakemen being so new to the sport. You know, when we finally got, after our first race in Park City, we were like, oh, so this is how it's done. Because we're like, how are we going to get in the sled? But it's like, you're going to figure it out.
They figured it out enough that they're now looking to challenge for a medal in South Korea, according to Ngozi Onwumere.
We expect to be competitive. We got in this sport thinking that, you know, there were processes to get to where we need to be. Now we're where we need to be, and now it's time to compete. You know, give them a good, you know, run at this.
Olympic team leader Seyun Adigun agrees with Ngozi, saying they're looking for a podium place at the Winter Games.
I mean, I don't think anyone signs up to go to the Games to not be one of the top three, you know? It's totally one of the things that, if you're a natural competitor, at least one of the things that you aspire to is to have a podium spot with respect for the process and respect for the learning curve of what it is that we're actually doing.
That's Seyun Adigun, the driver and leader of Nigeria's first ever Olympic women's bobsled team. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More Winter Olympic news. Ghana will be represented by men's skeleton racer Akwasi Frimpong in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Like Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsledders, Frimpong also has competed in athletics. For our VOA listeners in Africa and elsewhere who might not be familiar with the Olympic winter sport of skeleton, it's a sliding sport in which an athlete rides a small sled, known as a skeleton bobsled, down a frozen track lying face down. And unlike other Winter Olympic sliding sports of luge and bobsled, the skeleton race always involves single riders, and the sport was named from the bony appearance of the sled. Ghana's only other winter Olympian was alpine skier Kwame Nkrumah Achampong, who finished 47th in the slalom at the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, Canada. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Joining us now on the VOA with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Record 8-time title holders Al Ahly of Egypt are among 10 former winners who qualify for the 2018 CAF Champions League, which begins this weekend with preliminary round first legs. Defending champion Wydad Casablanca of Morocco and 5-time winners TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo are other powerful outfits in the 59-club field. After a bye, Wydad launched their title defense against Stade Malien of Mali or newcomers Williamsville of the Ivory Coast, neither of whom look likely giant killers. There are also 5 teams who have won other CAF competitions, making it one of the strongest lineups in the 54-year history of the leading African club competition. Staying with football news, Nigeria's new kits for the 2018 World Cup in Russia have been revealed as the Super Eagles gear up for this summer's tournament in Russia. The Nigerian Football Federation launched the country's kit for the championship in London on Wednesday. The jersey is designed by Nike, which was worn by the first Nigerian team to qualify for the World Cup, with eagle wing-inspired black and white sleeve and green torso, while the away kit boasts of the full green stripe in a classic fashion. Another World Cup-bound side, Egypt, has its national team's director Iheb Leheta confirming that Egypt is in talks with several football associations to hold further pre-World Cup friendlies. Leheta confirmed that Egypt is negotiating with several Arab, European and South American teams to set up international friendlies and foreign training camps ahead of the 2018 World Cup in Russia in June. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and have a nice weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I've been talking with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta, about some of the latest developments in professional boxing. There have been reports recently that former champion Tyson Fury might be a sparring partner in Joseph Parker's camp to help Parker prepare for his world heavyweight title unification fight March 31st against Anthony Joshua. I asked Nnamdi for an update on Tyson Fury, nicknamed the Gypsy King.
Well, the Gypsy King have been told not to come to camp because that would have been the dumbest move by the Joe Parker camp. Why bring a guy into the camp to throw things up for you? Mind you, the Gypsy King Tyson Fury, his big money fight is against Anthony Joshua. So why would you go into the training camp and work with a guy that will stop you from making that big money with AJ? So they stopped him from coming into the camp, which was the best move because he don't need all that distraction. This guy is just going to be on the Twitter, tweeting all kinds of mess every day and take your eyes off the ball.
In one of our recent chats, Nnamdi, you said Tyson Fury had ballooned up during his absence from the ring. Any updates on his physical conditioning?
Dude still look like a sumo wrestler, you know. If you're talking about coming back in April, stay off the steak, man. You're heavyweight. Like in Nigeria, we say stay off the fufu, bro. He's got to drop at least a good 150 pounds, son, which is not easy. Because then he goes to camp, he's working towards reducing his weight rather than working on strategy to get ready for the fight. But hey, he's going to fight a whole bunch of bumps when he comes back, so it's no big deal.
We mentioned Wilder Ortiz in New York on March 3rd. Also looks like there will be a big card in mid-April in New York City. Tell our VOA listeners about that, Nnamdi.
Well, I'm sure you know who Jeff Horn is. Jeff Horn is from Australia, the guy that got that gift by beating up Manny Pacquiao, which everybody believed he did not win the fight. They gave the fight to him. Now he's going to have to fight Terence Crawford, and that fight is set for April 13th at the Madison Square Garden. But the interesting part about that fight is the fact that Manny Pacquiao is on the same card. Why will a guy who's been like a huge major superstar, a global fighter, be on undercard fighting for on the same night?
What's your sense, Nnamdi? Will fight fans buy this card involving Pacquiao and Crawford on pay-per-view?
Not really, Sonny. Come on now. You know, I mean, you want me to drop $70 for a fight that belongs to Friday night on ESPN or Showtime? No. Come on. Manny Pacquiao is a senator masquerading as a boxer, Sonny. He should stay in the Senate chambers. He should have been gone by now. The Australian guy, he did not really win that fight with Manny Pacquiao, so he will be destroyed. So what's the point in paying $70, $80 for a fight that belongs to your regular cable channel?
Let's look ahead to early May, Cinco de Mayo. Looks like Canelo Triple G 2 is in the books, Nnamdi. How about an update?
Well, we're glad to say Canelo Triple G 2 is set May 5th, but they're looking at arenas and talking about taking this fight to Madison Square Garden, getting out of Las Vegas. Come on now. I don't have anything against New York City, Sonny. Las Vegas is the real place, you know. The arena is there, the casinos are there, the hotels are there. I mean, the fight that week is just something you cannot describe. You know, it's a Mexican holiday weekend, Cinco de Mayo. All the fight fans will come in from Mexico, from L.A. Yes, Triple G has fought Madison Square Garden in the past. It will be like home advantage for Triple G. So I will be surprised if the fight happened in New York City. The fight belongs in T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, and I think the fans will buy the ticket and it will sell out.
In terms of the money for each fighter, Nnamdi, is it more advantageous for them to fight in Vegas or New York?
Oh, Vegas, Sonny, because, you know, with Vegas, you're talking about closed circuit. All the casinos in Las Vegas, they will show the fight on closed circuit. The revenue coming in from closed circuit from each of those casinos, you cannot have that in New York City. You're not going to put the fight in at the Astro, what do you call it, some hotel. No. It's not the same thing. When you go to Las Vegas, you stay in the hotel, you go to the room and watch the fight in the big lounge. closed circuit. It's like you're at the fight itself. In New York City, how many hotels will accommodate you for that? Vegas is the place, and I bet you it's going to end up being the place.
Amir Khan. Any updates on him, Namdi?
Well, Amir Khan is coming back on April 21 against Phil Lo Greco. You know, Amir Khan has been out of the ring since he got knocked out by Canelo, May 2016. Amir Khan is a big talker, you know. There's too much drama with him. And, dude, get your act together and fight. That's what we want to see, you know. Too much drama, bro. Get it together, man.
Floyd Mayweather, sort of in and out of the ring. We saw him at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, Minnesota, wearing a fur coat. And I've also seen him in these octagon videos, Namdi. What's going on with that?
Oh, come on, Sonny. Don't forget, this guy is a very shrewd businessman. You know, he's setting us up for something that we're going to end up running to the pay-per-view and buy and pay for it. You know where I'm coming from, you know. He's setting us up by releasing all this video of him in the octagon. And there's talk about him now fighting in the MMA. And Showtime has finally come out like, oh, yeah, we will support him because Showtime is going to clean up too. Showtime is going to make a lot of money. You see, people want to pay to see this card beat up, slapped around the octagon, you know. The question becomes, Namdi, will you be at the ringside? Definitely I'm going to be at the ringside.
But Namdi, come on. You don't actually think Mayweather would go MMA on us.
Did you ever think Mayweather will fight Conor McGregor? It's a question for you, Sonny. You remember how we laughed about it in the beginning? That fight made more than $500 million, Sonny. Mm. So, these guys, they are businessmen. They know.
Well, Namdi, this is no laughing matter. Thomas Bach, the International Olympic Committee president, he said IEBA, the International Boxing Association, under scrutiny for its finances and governance, and he is warning that boxing could be knocked out of the 2020 Olympics.
First, the IOC Executive Board is not satisfied with the report prepared by IEBA on its governance, finance, refereeing, and anti-doping issues. The IOC-EB confirms the opening of an investigation into the governance of IEBA by the IOC Chief Ethics and Compliance Officer. The IOC suspends any financial payments to IEBA, including directly boxing-related payments scheduled by Olympic Solidarity. Fourth, the IOC-EB is freezing all contacts with IEBA, except the ones on the working level, which are necessary to implement the respective IOC decisions. Fifth, the IOC-EB requires a further report by IEBA by 30th of April 2018. Sixth, the IOC-EB reiterates that the IOC decisions regarding the event and athlete quota for the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 are final. Last, but really not least, the IOC reserves the right to review the inclusion of boxing on the program of the Youth Olympic Games Buenos Aires 2018 and the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020.
Sonny, IOC also have to clean house because they have issues too. How can you punish boxers for corruption? This has nothing to do with boxers. I mean, a young cat has been training all this time to go to the Olympics and become a professional fighter. They're going to turn around and say, because of things done by some old guys, stop them from going? No, that's not going to happen. I mean, they will have to resolve it before 2020. I guarantee one thing, boxing will be in Tokyo. So all this talk about corruption, mismanagement, and all that stuff, yeah, it goes on. But you cannot, because of that, punish all these young cats that want to go to the Olympics.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Just ahead, some big National Basketball Association trades. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
In National Basketball Association news, the Cleveland Cavaliers have dramatically changed their roster in a bid to return to the NBA Finals once again. Thursday was the NBA's trade deadline, and the Cavaliers were the busiest team. They basically got rid of about half of their lineup in terms of roster, and they brought in over a half dozen new players, but let me try to break it down for you. The Cavaliers traded Isaiah Thomas, Channing Frye, Jay Crowder, Derrick Rose, Iman Shumpert, Dwayne Wade, and their 28 first-round draft pick. In return, the Cavaliers brought in Rodney Hood from the Utah Jazz and George Hill from the Sacramento Kings. The Los Angeles Lakers dealt two of their young players, Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr., to the Cavaliers. What does this mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means, VOA basketball fans. The Cavaliers have become younger and they've become more athletic with the addition of Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, and Rodney Hood. I encourage our basketball fans, just put in Larry Nance Jr. in your YouTube search engine, and you're going to see some pretty incredible dunks. He's one of the best dunkers in the league. So the Cavaliers are hoping by making these big trades, they can get some young legs around LeBron James and get back to the NBA Finals. One African player who was traded on Thursday, Emmanuel Mudiay, he's from the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Denver Nuggets dealt Mudiay to the New York Knicks. So Mudiay now with the Knicks. The Knicks recently lost their big Latvian center, Kristaps Porzingis, because of injury, and now they're trying to make some moves to bolster their lineup. And one other bit of NBA news, the NBA taking some disciplinary action. Fined Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors, the reigning NBA champions, $50,000 for directing what it calls inappropriate and offensive language. Sounds like Draymond said some things he probably shouldn't have said. And that wraps up the February 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwa Kala. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States has expanded its offer of rewards for information on key leaders of terrorist organizations to include a leader of one of the groups conducting attacks on government facilities and other targets in northern Nigeria, roiling the nation in sectarian violence. Abubakar Shekau is the leader of the group commonly known as Boko Haram, a Nigeria-based extremist organization seeking to overthrow the current government there and replace it with a regime based on a strict interpretation of Islamic law. Links with terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab have strengthened Boko Haram's capacity to conduct its attacks. Previously, the group's number two, Shekau claimed overall command in July 2010, expressing solidarity with Al-Qaeda and threatening the United States. A vehicle bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Abuja in August 2011 marked the group's first lethal operation against Western interests, killing at least 23 people and injuring 80 others. In April 2012, the group bombed a Nigerian newspaper office in Abuja and later threatened other local and international news outlets, including the Voice of America. Under his leadership, the group has kidnapped hundreds of children to serve as hostages, bearers, and even fighters. Shekau is tall, slim, and has a dark complexion. He was born in Yobe, Nigeria, sometime between 1965 and 1975, and is of the Kanuri ethnicity. He speaks Arabic, Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri. He is known to have used the aliases Abubakar Sikwa and Imam Abubakar Shekau. The Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to Shekau's location. The U.S. promises that all credible reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them and their families. If you have information on this man, contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, or submit a tip to www.rewardsforjustice.net or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. You may also call the Rewards for Justice tip line at 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.